You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 21 May. We've got local inflation data, 10 a.m. Budget, 2 p.m. And the presidential Oval Office meeting, 7:45 p.m. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Jimmy Moyaha on the Sasol Capital Markets Day sent the stock higher, and Renogen gets maybe a buyout, which sent that stock a whole lot higher too. Nadine Chetty-Khan from Old Mutual Wealth. Alphabet's AI spending, are they overdoing it? And then math, science and technology need to be prioritized in Budget 3.0. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, SA's fiscal position to watch in Budget 3.0. No new taxes, but maybe expect a possible fuel levy hike, say analysts. Business day, SA monetary policy needs to ease. Bank of America survey finds local fund managers the ample room for cuts to Reserve Bank's repo rate, currently at 7.5%. Morning markets, the US was red, S&P and NASDAQ down 0.4%. Over in the east, mostly green, we've got Sydney up 0.2%. Tokyo is the red, off a tenth of a percent. Hong Kong up 0.6%, as is Tencent. Commodities, green. Gold futures, 3,338. Brent, 66.38. Platinum, 1,059. Palladium, 1,016. The rand is 17.90. Bitcoin's 107,000. Top 40 opening call, 120 points red. It's about 0.15% lower. We're having a birthday breakfast for our fifth birthday, Friday the 30th, Rosebank, Johannesburg. If you're keen to come along, answer the simple question: what time do we go live every morning? Email studio at moneyweb.co.za.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Jimmy Moyaha, independent analyst. Jimmy, some big stories out yesterday. One was, of course, Sasol. The stock at one point over 10% higher, closed up almost 9%. It was their capital markets day, and I suppose the big story was no bad news. Dividend only when debt drops below $3 billion, but aggressive debt reduction and emission reduction budget. The market liked, and there hasn't been a lot of good news for Sasol.
Yeah, morning, Simon. I think this is the one time you want to hear from a company when the news is this good and the team is this prepared. I mean, this is, of course, the first capital markets day that we've received from Sasol under the new management, under the leadership of Simon Baloyi and Walt Bruns as the chief financial officer. I caught up with Walt yesterday on my show as well to discuss the capital markets day. But this is effectively the kind of update you need from a company the size of Sasol as well. I mean, there have been a lot of things that Sasol has been contending with that have put the share price under pressure, things around the emissions, which they've thankfully gotten reprieve around how to reclassify and recalculate those emissions, but also the Lake Charles project that they've been struggling with and struggling to deal with as well. So this is a clear roadmap from the management team coming to the market to say, this is what we know needs to be fixed. This is how we intend to fix it and what the perceived outcome of these fixes will be. The market was up, I think, about 5% or so the day before. Yeah. So on Monday already, the share price had started moving. This is a positive sign. We saw the share price move yesterday as well. And when you look at the contributor that Sasol is towards the South African economy, I mean, they are the largest taxpayer, I believe, in terms of corporate companies in South Africa. They also employ a significant number of people. They're part of the energy mix in terms of supplying the market with various forms of energy. And this is something that they too touched on, to say that we understand what we provide from a coal perspective, we understand what we provide from a gas perspective, and this is something that the share price definitely needed, the kind of confidence that as an investor you want to see. A management team that comes out and says, we acknowledge that some of these decisions that happened in the past might or could have been dealt with differently, and we understand that going forward, we need to make different decisions. And that is exactly what we intend on doing. And this is what we think those different decisions will result in. So when you're looking at a company the size of Sasol, this is definitely the kind of update you want to get from them, even before the numbers. I mean, Sasol has been quite transparent about their performance as well, giving us a continuous update around these are the expectations. We give guidance that our numbers are not going to meet what they should be, and we're dealing with that. And they came back to the market to say, this is how we're dealing with that. And the market absolutely receiving that positively.
Yeah, and I mean, they're going to get Secunda back to nameplate state levels, and they reckon they can do a lot of that on actually renewable. They're going to look for 2 gigawatts of renewable. But of course, the other story was Renergen, which at one point was 60-odd% up, closed 38% higher. ASP Isotopes, we both chatted with Paul Mann recently, talking around they want to come list on the JSE, and now they've put an offer to buy Renergen. I got to say, completely out the blue, and it kind of, I don't know, maybe it sounds like Steph Moronio almost kind of throwing in the towel to a degree and becoming a sort of a division of another NASDAQ listed stock.
Yeah, so that was a weird announcement as well. I mean, when you and I caught up with Paul Mann, we spoke about the inward listing side of things and how they planned to come here, how a lot of their employees were based here, and only 4 of their employees were technically based outside of South Africa. So it was, by all accounts, a South African company. So it would make sense for them to pursue the listing here. But we also know at the same time that for the longest time, Renergen has been pursuing a U.S. listing. They've been trying to get a listing on NASDAQ, to the extent that Stefano Morani, the CEO, has traveled to the United States to raise capital, to try and drum up support for the listing and do all of those things. So interesting that the two companies are coming together under these circumstances. Not a pairing I would have put my finger on and said that's how we move forward. ASP Isotope came out, I think it was yesterday as well, with a statement that says they can kind of see how that Renergen business fits into their business and how it aligns with their business. But of course, just because the merger is happening doesn't mean it solves the problems that Renergen has been experiencing. We know that from a Renergen perspective, we are way behind schedule on deliverables from what timelines the Renergen team had given us. We haven't even gotten stage 2 to where it needs to be. That still needs to be dealt with. Helium is finally supposedly coming out, but that's as of March of this year. So that hasn't come out consistently enough for the market to say, okay, that is a problem that has been solved. We know that, and this is from the conversation I had with the Sasol team, is that the side of things that relate to LNG, that has a critical component. Sasol themselves coming out to say that LNG is still an important energy mix in South Africa. So that's obviously something that the market wants to know more about. But from a Renergen perspective, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be able to achieve the outputs that they need to just because ASP Isotopes takes them on. So this is something that is a strange pairing, a strange marriage, but we'll have to see how that marriage then benefits the market.
Yep. And of course, still shareholder vote. ASP Isotopes on NASDAQ last night down 6.9%. Jimmy Miaha, appreciate the early morning. And that's our poll today. Chatting with Jimmy there, the Sasol Capital Markets Day, the first in many, many years. The market absolutely loved it. It's a time to hold a Sasol. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the Stanlib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Nadine Chetty-Khan, research analyst at Private Clients by Old Mutual Wealth. Nadine, appreciate the time. Alphabet, which of course is YouTube and a couple of others, Waymo and some others, spending huge on capital expenditures, $75 billion this year. It's concerning a lot of people, but there's a lot into it. The first is, in a recent note you put out, this isn't the first time they've spent big. I mean, Maps, Android, I mean, even Waymo, even YouTube, which at the time was a hugely expensive deal, but has worked incredibly well. Google does big bets for the long term.
Yes, thank you, Simon, for having me. So you're right on that. I mean, with the parent company of Google, Alphabet, is planning to spend $75 billion. This mostly is focused on artificial intelligence and cloud infrastructure. Now, that's a 43% increase on top of a 63% increase the year before. According to its CEO, this capital has been directed towards servers, data centers, and network infrastructure. And like you've just alluded to, you know, it's worth noting that this isn't entirely new ground for Alphabet. If you go back to the early 2000s, the company's capital expenditure was primarily about supporting its search engine. Back then, they opened their first data center in Mountain View in 2003. Mm-hmm. And over time, that infrastructure has become the backbone, not just of Google Search, but of its fast-growing cloud business. Today's investment waves feels like just a natural extension of that long-term strategy. And I guess, you know, everyone's asking, so is Alphabet overdoing it? We don't think so. The company's CapEx history just shows a consistent pattern of placing long-term bets on future technology. Whether it's, like you mentioned, Android or YouTube, Alphabet has repeatedly taken the long-term view. Now, I was just about to say, you know, these investments have paid off. I mean, YouTube now brings in over $30 billion annually and reaches more than 2 billion users. This now contributes about 10% of Alphabet's revenue. Another example is Google Maps. It's just, you know, initially it was viewed as a non-core product, and now it's embedded into daily lives for millions of users.
Absolutely. And I mean, YouTube, I think what they paid $1.6 billion for, which at the time was a big number, but pales into it. This really is, and it's AI, and Google is, Alphabet, is really saying AI is going to be at the heart of pretty much everything, certainly everything within the Alphabet stable. But they really are saying that AI is going to be everywhere, and they want to be a player on it on all different levels.
Yes. I mean, controversy sparked earlier in the years when they were compared to China's DeepSeek, European players like Mistral. They are releasing AI models that are commercially viable, achieving near-peer AI performance, but at low investment levels. Now, unlike these peers, Alphabet isn't just trying to build the best AI models. It's pursuing what they call a full-stack approach, developing and integrating AI across all of its platforms and services as it evolves for an AI-driven internet. A few examples, I mean, just to YouTube, AI is empowering personalized recommendations, new creator tools, contributing to stronger engagement. Alphabet says that the AI-optimized campaigns are delivering 17% higher returns on ad spend. And now when you layer that on with a 2 billion monthly active users who see about a billion daily video views, I mean, that's significant grounds for monetization.
Yeah, and I mean, YouTube is more screen time than Netflix. I suppose part of it is that these returns are going to take a bit of time to materialize. If we look at Android, if we look at YouTube, and even Maps, some of those big spendings from the early 2000s, they took some time. Shareholders need to be patient, but there is a good history for that patience being paid off.
Yes. And, you know, the surge in spending isn't expected to be permanent. As the supply chain settles and infrastructure scales, CapEx should eventually normalize. Mm-hmm. And even if AI demand doesn't ramp up as quickly as expected, the nice thing about Alphabet's investments in data centers and infrastructure is that it can serve a variety of use cases, affording it the flexibility to switch its AI infrastructure and serve different needs.
And $75 billion is a big number, but in the note you pointed out, and I was unaware it was this much, their cash flow is humongously strong, $40 billion average over the last decade. I mean, $75 is a big number, but they really can actually afford it.
Yes, I mean, that free cash flow number that you've mentioned is just after capital expenditure, and that's strong firepower. It's allowed it to find significant initiatives without putting its balance sheet under pressure. And I mean, the numbers tell the narrative. If you're looking on its return invested capital, it's averaged 19.3% since 2003. This is well above the company's cost of capital. So far, I mean, the strategy looks both ambitious but financially disciplined.
Absolutely. You mentioned DeepSeek from China. There's Mistral from France. As you said, they're optimizing for cost and speed. They are, I suppose, a player in the space, but this isn't necessarily a one size fits all, or either for that matter, there's only going to be one winner. DeepSeek and Mistral can have a place in this AI future, while as does Google and Gemini.
Totally agree with that. I mean, these challenges are important, especially for developers, startups, government efforts that are looking for open source flexibility and cost efficiency. I mean, one can even make the argument that they could commoditize parts of the AI stack similar to Linux did for software infrastructure. But again, Alphabet is not just making a model. It's got a longer term play. And it's trying to defend its sort of dominant position in search by making the investments for now an AI-driven internet.
We'll leave it there, Nadine Chetty-Khan, research analyst at Private Wealth, Private Clients by Old Mutual Wealth. Appreciate the time. Let your money weather the storms for StanLib Asset Management. Invest in the StanLib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Dumelo Matabetsela. He's CEO of Katlanong Center for Maths, Science and Technology. Dumelo, appreciate the early morning time. Budget later today. No VAT hike by all expectations. We've also got lowered GDP expectations. So budget 3.0 likely to feature cuts. You make a point. The education department is one space we absolutely cannot afford a budget cut in South Africa.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much, Mr. Brown. Dumelo Mabitsela from Katlanong Center for Maths, Science and Technology, a non-profit organization. We definitely, would want, the budget for education not to experience any cuts. You know, last year it was a challenge, especially for the infrastructure, supposed to have decent classrooms, toilets, science laboratories, sports facilities. We definitely need that because remember, education is an asset of the nation. And without, quality education, this country will be in trouble. If we cut, a budget, we are, affecting the future of our children. And we'll forever have, challenges of crime, challenges of unemployment, and all the social ills that, we are experiencing as a nation.
And that's a good point. We could make a short-term saving now, but this is, it's that long-term implication. Education is something which plays out over time and is hugely True. Important to the individual, but hugely useful to the broader community and the country as a whole.
Correct, yeah. And what, has happened in the past, through our organization, Katlanong Center for Maths, Science and Technology, we are promoting that, public-private partnership should happen. With the limited budgets that we have, if they are not cut, at least we are able to go to the private sector and to say, in terms of Public Management Finance Act, can, combine, do rent for rent. We have seen that happening in Free State, through the former MEC of Education, Dr. Tate Makwe, may his soul rest in peace. He passed on a few years back. That man was very smart. He went, for organizations like, business like your Investec and partnered with them for rent. And, if we're taking 600 learners, in our center, the grade 10s, grade 11s, and grade 12s, then it would allow us, to even double the numbers because, private sector would bring, half and then Department of Education will pay half. And that really worked very well. It was not just Investec, it was Harmony as well. It was FoodBev and other, business that, he was trying to get them on board to support education in Free State. That is why I can, firmly say, Free State, if you can check, for the last 3 or 4 years, it's been obtaining position one in terms of, the results of grade 12. And it is not just, position one in the country, but also quality education. I mean, we've been with Free State for the last 15 years. And, we're pushing STEM careers. And if you go to, check the 15 years with Free State, I mean, we have lots of students who are now medical doctors, alumni, that are medical doctors that, were afforded the opportunity to get quality education. They finished, with your 90% and 95% in mathematics. And when they went to your Stellenbosch, they went to UJ, they went to UCT, some even went outside, to Cuba to study medicine. They did it, within record time because of quality education. Now, we definitely need, the public-private partnership. But especially if the government is not going to cut, you know, the budget of education, because private, remember, they are already paying taxes, but they can also come on board and say, no, even if we pay taxes, I mean, we need this skill, you know, to be able to have, you know, a viable, you know, economy as a country. I believe, you know, I always say to people, I believe that, you know, South Africa can also, you know, compete like, you know, your first world countries. This issue of, you know, your 32% unemployment can also be eradicated, you know, if we give our learners, you know, quality educations. How much are your actuaries earning today? How much are your chartered accountants, you know, earning today, your engineers?
Yeah,
instead of them getting the 350 rand a month, then they get so much, and then they will pay a contribute to fiscals, you know, because I'm not sure how much, you know, government is taking SARS. I think more than 40%, and that, you know, revenue is very, very important, you know, for this country, so that we can even do other things that if it was not for education, they would not be possible.
Absolutely, it's a cornerstone of a society, and undoubtedly of an economy at the same time. We'll leave it there. Dr. Mileno Mabusela, he's CEO of Katlanong Center for Maths and Science and Technology. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. We were chatting with Gary Arnold, CEO at Astro, yesterday. But the results, revenue was up, but profits down as costs hurt. We asked if you hold the chicken producer. Two-thirds said no, too volatile for you. A quarter said yes, great potential. The rest said at times. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. The USA Wealth Report 2025.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.